This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till three, Danny and Dusty on the fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till three.
An Odyssey station.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. The Oregon Ducks punched their ticket to the Big Ten championship game. We talked about all 10 tiebreaker scenarios earlier in the week. Now it comes down to the big game this weekend, Ohio State, Indiana. Boy, that takes a different turn when Seth McLaughlin, the starting center for Ohio State, is now out. Now you have two of your starting offensive linemen done for the year for Ohio State, and the two most important, your left tackle and your center.
And again, probably your two best, too, on top of that.
Yeah. Ohio State's defense, still doing really good, though. Mm-hmm. Still doing okay on the health front, and the fact that they match up strength for strength with Indiana in their offense and the Ohio State defense. But that could be an equalizer to an extent. I still think Ohio State is better in that matchup. But if you are Oregon, who do you want in the Big Ten championship game? Ohio State, Indiana, or Penn State? We went through, I think there's only one scenario where Penn State gets in.
Yeah.
And the other ones are Ohio State and Indiana. Five for Ohio State, four for Indiana, and one for Penn State.
I mean, Ohio State played you basically to a standstill.
Yeah.
At home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you want to play them again, even with the injuries on the offensive line.
You would think, though, if Jordan Birch is available for that game, and they don't have their left tackle or their center.
Certainly opens things up.
19 yards rushing in the second half for Ohio State. And look, there was the lack of Chip Kelly sticking to and creativity in the run game in the second half of that game was mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And they still had a chance to win the game. But what does that look like without now two starting offensive
line? Not only that, do you want to play the game where you put Oregon's offensive line up against that pass rush again? Yeah, they had a sterling result, but do you want to test it again?
They did really well. I mean, there's a lot of names you didn't hear called. And you got to have Tez Johnson's going to be really important in all of that. You know, so is it Ohio State? The reason why I would want it to be Indiana is because, one, chaos, love it.
Yeah.
And two, I think the planets do align for it would be like a third meeting with Ohio State in the playoff.
It'd be like Washington all over again.
Yeah, well, they only play them twice. This should be the third time in 1 year.
No, I mean, when they had Washington last year.
I know, but that's twice.
Yes,
this if they play Ohio State in a Big Ten championship game and then see them again in the playoff, that'd be three times you play the same team. And that, I just go,
you throw everything. Well, I mean, you throw everything out the window in a third game.
Yeah, but I like seeing new teams, new matchups. Sure. And if Indiana is a game to beat Ohio State, yes.
Yeah.
Give me a great game. Look, I think if I'm power ranking, it's Indiana 1. And this doesn't have to do with being able to beat Indiana over Ohio State, because this would entail Indiana beating Ohio State on the road. And beating a team that you won by 1 point at home against, right?
I think the team you want to play, like when you're talking about the team you want to play, is Penn State. Yeah. That's the team you want. Look, yeah. I know you
want that one scenario to play out.
Look, if you're Oregon, that's what you want, because, look, man, I if you're talking about which teams I trust most and which coaches I trust most and which quarterback I trust the most, Drew Aller is so far in the distant third, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
Every single game of any level of competence, he's been a disaster.
Yeah.
He's been not a guy you can go to. And for everybody who wants to point out the Penn State-USC game, go watch the first half of that game. One of the worst performances I've ever seen.
Oh, no, you said a game of consequence and note.
Yeah, no.
Too, so
yeah,
that also doesn't hold
the
up
one,
in this.
The one where they couldn't beat the bad team until overtime because their quarterback play was so bad.
Yeah.
And USC, I don't think, got a sack in that game. if you're looking at Oregon and you're like, you should want the path of least resistance. You should.
Yeah. I like watching good football.
Well, listen,
that's what I want.
I'm talking about like what is best for the program.
Yeah.
You want Penn State. Like,
if you're talking what would be the easiest route, it would be Penn State.
Yeah.
If you're talking compelling matchups, I think it's Indiana, because that would entail Indiana beating Ohio State, and then that would be 1-2.
Mm-hmm. And it's an Indiana team that's beating Ohio State on the road.
On the road, baby.
At the shoe. Like, that's...
Yeah, I'm power ranking this of competitive and good games. Indiana, Ohio State, then Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, I'll go back to, it would be the second time you see Ohio State, and it would be a hell of a game, and it would be a hell of a matchup. But you'd likely see it for a third time in the college football playoff. The Indiana one would be, finally, they got a seat at the big boy table. And do you realize what that stadium would look like in Indianapolis? In the University of Indiana.
Just down the street.
Playing in Indianapolis in the Big Ten championship game.
You might as well just paint the seats red.
Yeah, you just go ahead and do it. You go ahead and do it.
The crowd in there is going to be 90-10.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be 90-10 no matter who you play. Just
because Ohio State is so big and it's so close.
So does Penn State. Penn State travels. Ohio State travels. Indiana is there, quite literally in the state. So, you're going to be in a road game no matter what.
But if it's Indiana, you're really going to be dealing with it.
Yeah. Well, either one. I think either one, that stadium is going to be red.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Ohio State probably travels better than anyway because they have so many people. It's either them or Michigan.
And they could drive.
Yeah, it's not that far.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's fun, though, to think about what these matchups would be. And
they got to get one of these. They got to move the headquarters out here to the West Coast.
Now, I think I may have read something. They're definitely not going to do that. But Big Ten football championship game may be going on the road. In the future. So, like, in future sites, Lucas Oil Stadium through 2028. So there goes that.
Yeah, put it in Vegas. Put it in L.A., SoFi. Put it in one of the mega stadiums.
To where the headquarters are.
Yeah,
like, if you were, where would be the site?
I think it's
Vegas.
I think it's Vegas or SoFi. I think those are the only two options, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. But with like the Big Ten's luck, USC or UCLA would get their S together and then the Big Ten people would be like, it's a home game. It's like, well,
it's okay. If UCLA did, they still wouldn't show up.
The first three. Wait a minute. When UCLA is good, they show up to things.
Yeah, they still have to tarp off the top row.
Yeah. Well, when they're good, they don't. Mm. They just haven't been good for a while.
That's the problem.
So there you go.
That's the problem. All right. We got some Blazer questions earlier in the show, and we will get to those next. If you have any Blazers questions, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
It's not Football Friday. It was a hot route.
Yep, Chris Fire.
It's a hot route.
It's Football Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, it is. We do got Thursday Night Football. I saw the snow coming down in Cleveland.
Yeah, they just cut to the sideline. I was like, oh, no.
Let's go. I love it. I love football weather. We talked about this yesterday, that weather report for the old semifinal game my Banks Braves have.
Yeah, you're in trouble, bud.
Yeah, it is downgraded. Actually, the temperatures will be higher. Temperatures will be higher.
We're above 26 now?
Oh, look at that. It changed again. Thank goodness. This is changing every minute. This morning I woke up and it was during the game it would have been 32 and precipitation was 0.9 inches of snow. That has changed. Zero precipitation now. So I'm hoping that.
Oh, really? Because it was holding steady there.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Thank you. My tootsies will take that. But I love football weather.
Look, cold is going to be great. Even in the booth, that's.
I'm on the field now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. All right. We got a lot of questions coming in about the Portland Trailblazers. Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
That team?
I may or may not spend a significant amount of time watching them for some reason.
Yeah.
Because I'm a sicko.
Yeah, you are. Here's a question I think is on everybody's mind, because we've seen Tumani Kamara grow and develop. We have seen Donovan Klingon, even in a very short time, grow, develop, and take strides. Chris Murray, Ryan Rupaire, we've seen all these guys have these stair steps in their progressions. One guy that we have not seen that with is Scoot Henderson. And this question is simple. Any chance Scoot becomes the guy we were sold on? It's feeling less and less optimistic.
I think the star turn stuff is probably gone. And I was talking to somebody about this last night, in that in, what, 70-plus games now, he hasn't had a game where Donovan 17-12-8 or Shaden goes for 33. Scoot just hasn't had that game. Mm-hmm. He's had, don't get me wrong, he's had good performances, but he hasn't had these, it's not the same, but it kind of is. Anfernee Simons' rookie year, last game of the season, goes absolutely nuclear. Gary Trent Jr. goes nuclear in that game, like, where you're like, oh, there's some stuff here.
Yeah.
And we've got to remember, Gary's a second round pick and Anfernee was a 25th pick. Not the third overall pick. You know what I mean? Like, so you start having those kind of questions. Do I think that he's doomed to be Emmanuel Mudiay, who I've seen people kind of comp him to? Not yet. There's still plenty of time for him. And even last night, you saw he had four sequences where, one, he comes down, walks into an uncontested three because the OKC was like, you can't shoot. They just let him walk into it.
Dare you.
But he walks into it comfortably, cans it. I was like, good. You have to take that shot. If they're going to dare you to do it, you got to take it every now and then, and you got
to
knock it down.
They Uno reverse the Blazers in doing that to Russell Westbrook in a playoff series.
Yes. And like, you can't let them play 6 feet off you.
We still win that Uno reverse, though. It was a playoff series.
Yes.
Don't call him Westbrook, though.
Yeah. But he comes back down on the defensive end, and they're in a zone because OKC can't hit a three to save their life. And they're like, oh, we'll just zone up the paint because we're going to take away what Shea can do. Scoot goes down into the zone, goes to the low man, who's Donovan Klingon. And the reason you're doing this is because they're playing small, the Thunder are. And so what do you do? Remember the first time that Donovan Klingon played against the Thunder and they went small? He was like, bam, 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 just didn't know what to do. Well, you put him in zone so you can keep his big butt in the paint and alter shots. And Scoot goes down to the low man and just kind of stands there. And Donovan kind of grabs him by the back of the head like, dog, get out of here. But by then, the defense is completely flattened out. Swing, swing, ball kicks to the corner where Scoot's supposed to be. And it's a wide open three. Then he comes down, out of control, stumbles and falls and gets a charge. And you're like, what were you trying to accomplish there, dude? Come down next offensive possession, Hezzy tween, pull up, lob perfectly to Klingon. You're like, we're back. But like, there's not a, look, young guys are going to struggle and they're going to be inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
But point me to the game where the consistency is there for more than a couple possessions. And that's the problem. And it's like, look, I don't want the kid to be bad. I'm not hoping that he's bad. But, like, watching the tape, the highs are high, the lows are really low, and the average, like, night-to-night stuff is so few and far between. Think about how many nights were, like, it wasn't a bad night, wasn't a good night, but it was just fine. How many of those nights are there even? It's either, hey, he had some good plays, and it was bad, and then he had some bad, or it was a rough night.
Yeah.
And so I think the star stuff might be gone, which is maybe too early to say. Maybe I'm further out in front of it than I should be, but I
think you're being more polite than a lot of the fans feel.
I haven't seen it. Yeah. And so you're kind of hoping, can he just be a starting caliber point guard? Where, to me, the thing that has shown through this season is the organization, particularly in the last couple of games when it's basically just him and Banton, because that's not Banton's game. And when Scoot's out there, he at least, hey, settle down. No, you there. Like, being the organizer of things. And that is a real talent that is not abundant in the NBA. Like, that's the Tyus Jones and Mike Conley's. Like, if he can turn into one of those kind of guys with the bigger frame and the physicality, then I think you've got something to work with. But I think the star stuff's probably gone.
I think we've also seen over the course of this year the conversation. And look, we're just 15 games into the season, though. I think we've seen it also a shift in the idea of, if it's Donovan Clingan, everything else, it's not bolted down. Everything can go. I think we're starting to see Tumani Kamara is a guy that is a foundational piece of what they're trying to build.
I think the three things right now are two, Shane, Donovan.
Those are, and look, entering the year, there was like one.
It was probably Shea.
And then Donovan, because you can't trade him.
Because you've got the capital investment. And look, I'm not saying they should trade Scoot. You don't do that on a rookie scale.
No, contract. I'm just saying, like,
but as far as like what makes the most sense as far as projecting them forward, and ESPN has their top three or their top trios for teams kind of going forward. The Blazers coming at 28th behind the Wizards, who have Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Saar, and Bob Carrington, all three players they've drafted in the last 2 years.
Yeah, two are rookies this year in Saar and Carrington. But who are the Blazers' trio?
Scoot, Shaden, and Clingan, which I think speaks to the national side of stuff of people not watching.
Did they get, in my mind, I think the best trio of the Blazers, is that moving forward or right now?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both, because they categorize the group is the rebuilding group. This is the bottom group of the top trios, and it's Utah, Atlanta, Washington, Portland, Chicago, Brooklyn.
Boy, I think Tumani Kamara is in that trio for sure for Portland.
Yeah.
I think that trio, if you're talking about moving forward, it is Shea, Tumani, and Clingan. If you're talking about the best three players on the Blazers right now, I think that maybe you got one with Shaden Sharp in there.
Yeah, because I think it is projecting forward, because with the Chicago Bulls, they have it as Kobe White, but Josh Giddey, Patrick Williams, and they're not talking about LaVine or Vooch, who are clearly better players.
Even moving forward, though, I mean, I don't blame them. Here locally, we can see it, though. On the national scale, when you're not watching night in, night out, you may think that, but if you watch this team, it is Tumani Kamara, Shaden Sharp, Donovan Clingan.
Yeah.
And not in that order. It's Clingan to then probably Sharp right now, just because he comes off two big injuries. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's it.
But I mean, if you're talking about like Donovan and two are the foundational supporting pieces.
Mm.
Shea is more towards the foundational piece.
Are we back to pillars talk? Are we back to Dame LA and Odin pillars of the organization talk?
I mean, every organization is built this way.
Brandon LA and Odin.
Yeah, I mean,
and then it turned to Dame.
Look, that GM did pretty good. You know, it's unfortunate that the injuries went the way that they did.
Well, we just got to bifurcate those two things. Okay.
But yeah, no, like you and particularly in the new CBA landscape, you do have to be very measured in how you go about this stuff. And I think that's what's a big important part of this, is like how you can continue to be a big three, so to speak. Like, gets pretty dicey.
We're not even looking for big right now. We're just looking for three.
Yeah. And that's like, You're not wrong. And that's the thing is, like, the thing that I keep harping on for everybody's like, well, you know, this team's really feisty. It's like, I know you're thirsty for winning.
Yeah.
Like anything, because you're so used to having a team that's good. They don't have the top level guy yet.
All right. Here's another question that we can end on here. How come we never take into consideration what an ant sharp backcourt would look like defensively with having guys like Donovan Klingon, Robert Williams anchor in the paint?
I mean, you can compensate for some of the spacing issues that you have with Rob and Donovan on the floor at the same time. There's two players on this team, Rob and Denny, who are playing positions they've never played before this year. Rob is playing the power forward, and Denny has played some center with DA out. They've gone to some small ball stuff. Both players have been very interesting talking to them about it. You know, Rob's like, I'm trying, man. Like, I'm trying. You know, I knocked down my first three of my career. He's like, there's just like different. And for people that like, well, he played power forward in Boston. No, he didn't. Weirdly enough,
center.
Al Horford kind of played the power forward role, both offensively. He would step out in space to the corner for three. And defensively, he would be the guy that would kind of move his feet on the perimeter. As insane as that sounds, is like, you know, the 36, 37-year-old Al Horford at the time doing that. But Rob's, and you've seen Rob's shot blocking rim protection ability. Like, Horford just doesn't have that in the tank anymore. Although he did get Darius Garland twice the other night, caught me off guard.
It's that old man. He saves it.
Yeah. But Rob, you see how good he is at that. And his natural instincts kind of draw him to the paint, much the same way they do Donovan Klingon. It's an interesting spot, but I would like to see it, especially if you're going to go like Ant Shea 2. And have like a very disruptive wing out there with them, and then those two big guys kind of patrolling everything else. Be a fun, interesting one.
Yeah. Then you have Grant. What do you think the earliest we see a move is? Whether that is Jeremy Grant or Robert Williams or DeAndre Ayton, even whose name has popped up.
I don't think they're there yet. And I don't think they're going to be one of those December 15th, because that's when a lot of the other trades can become viable.
Yeah.
There'll be a trade in the NBA or two before the trade deadline. From my discussions and my understandings of talking to the front office, they're not in any hurries with anything. Yeah. And they, like, if you look at their MO, the only time they've been quote unquote in a hurry to make a deal was when Joe really first took over.
Yeah. Untangling the salary cap.
It was like, all right, CJ gone.
Yeah.
Rob gone, Norm gone. Like, we're just going to kind of reset stuff and we'll kind of work our way from there. Otherwise, they've taken their time with every transaction.
Okay.
Like, when they made the move for Denny Avdia at the draft, they tried to get Denny at the trade deadline, but there was unclear of where that the pick that they had from the Warriors was going
to
land.
And the path that the Washington wanted to go to. I mean, they didn't know where they were picking and who they'd be getting.
Was Denny going to be a part of their core kind of going forward? Or they'd want to entirely reset? You know, what were they going to do with Bilal, who's kind of stepped into the more space that Denny vacated? So, yeah, but they didn't force it then.
All right.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see where that stuff goes. Coming up on today's Worst Day on the Web, it's been a while since we have one of these, but it appears we might have a legitimate point shaving scandal in college basketball. We'll get to that more on our Worst Day on the Web. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Well, these are going to pop up, unfortunately. Basketball is maybe the easiest sport to manipulate when you're talking about gambling scandals.
Yes. Basketball, baseball, soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Football is really hard.
There's just too many moving parts.
You have to get too many people to agree.
And there's not enough individual control, as it were. In basketball, I mean, we saw it with Porter.
Arizona State.
Well, no, Porter.
What Porter brother was that?
I'm totally blanking on his name.
Yeah, all right.
Anyways, one of the Porter brothers, you can just miss on purpose.
Yep.
Like, that's a real thing, and it's hard.
Jonte,
thank you. and it's pretty easy to affect. Well, Pete Thamel and David Purdom are both reporting via ESPN that federal authorities are investigating whether former Temple men's basketball player Heisier Miller bet on his own games and manipulated the outcome of Temple Owls games he played in.
Oh, no. Only a matter of time.
He transferred to Virginia Tech during the offseason, but was dismissed on October 23rd because of the federal investigation and NCAA inquiry into Temple games. He never played a game for Virginia Tech and asked for comment on the allegation. His attorney said Heisier Miller has overcome more adversity in his 22 years than most people face in their lifetime. He will meet and overcome whatever obstacles lay ahead.
That is not a full-throated rejection of the accusations there.
That's a tough statement there.
Yeah.
That's not a full-throated defense of, he did not do this, and he will be cleared of all allegations, and this we man. Will look into countersue and libel and everything. You know, no, that's a, well, we're screwed, so maybe we get out in front of this and say, we're sorry, please don't send us to federal prison.
Miller needs to hire Rusty Harden immediately to make sure that this thing goes away. Wow. Now, when he was at Temple, he's obviously good enough to transfer to Virginia Tech. You know it's not going to happen at a basketball powerhouse, though, right? Like, it's going to be, like, Temple versus UAB on a Wednesday night. These are the games that the fix is in. That
LSU, very similar, Alabama baseball.
Yeah, very similar to Arizona State and Boston College basketball, where the betting scandals, they were being manipulated, and it was not like the marquee matchups and marquee days. It was like, where can we get the advantage, right? The Jontay Porters, right? The evildoers in the gambling world, they don't go to Giannis or Jokic and be like,
because they have more money than God. There's nothing you can do to give them more money than
no. Like, you get a guy like Jontay Porter and you say, hey, we're going to bet the under. You play for a minute, get the mud butt, and leave, right? Then we hit our unders and we win. That's how these things usually work. And where they get blown up is somebody else catches on, and more money than there should be is being bet on those games, that action, and it sticks out.
And
if it's Alabama baseball.
Yeah.
And you directly tell the people working the counter you have inside information.
Yeah. That's a good spot.
He is a moron.
Sportsbooks had alerted U.S. Integrity, which is a Vegas firm that kind of they have all of the MIT students leave there and go sign NDAs and work for this company that basically detect irregularities in betting.
Yeah, I got a buddy that works as an auditor for a casino, and he can't say anything about his job.
Because there's...
or for casinos.
Yeah, there's insider secrets that kind of come with, like, the triggers that detect this stuff.
That's about all I know about his work life.
Yeah.
That he travels a lot, and he can't tell me anything about his job. Mm-hmm.
Because it's literally responsible for billions of dollars. Yeah. And how, like,
he does say it's not as cool as you think, but
I've talked to the literal owner and president of a sports book about this stuff and the security and, like, the secret rooms that they have where this stuff is done. And because every sports book has their own auditors and their own things that they do it's always a math problem.
Yep.
It's not back in the day. It was, You had some quants who worked down there, like the bean counter types, but it was more feel and relationships and stuff like that. We're beyond that. We're beyond that. It's machine learning algorithms. That's what this stuff is. And it detects betting patterns. And it can project, you know, what win-loss is based on your spreads or your over-unders or whatever it is you're trying to target. And in this one, this was a March 7th game in 2023 against the UAB featuring Temple.
Oh, no way. Wait, it really was Temple versus UAB?
Yes.
I didn't even know
that. Oh, you didn't read that? Oh,
I did not even read. Yeah, no, I did not even read to that part. It was Temple versus UAB?
Yes.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. No, they did. It was Temple UAB. And it was it opened as a 2-point line. It went to an 8-point line, a 6-point swing on a March 7th regular season game between Temple and UAB.
Okay.
A 6-point swing in any game is like, I'm sorry, what? Because usually when the sharps come out, you're going to put money on the other side too.
Yep.
So you're not going to get these kind of swings. You're going to get you're going to leverage this, and you're going to go on both sides so that you come out ahead.
Dang, I was one day off. I said it's usually on a Wednesday. It was a Thursday. That's a Thursday game. Yeah. It was a Thursday game between
in March Temple between and Temple and UAB.
Yeah.
A meaningless game that has nothing to do with March Madness.
That's how it goes, man.
So, but yeah, they ended up halting all of the betting being done.
So this doesn't mean that it was just like him. They lead you to believe that it was just him that was he was betting on his own games, right? No, that is a coordinated effort that he was making with a bunch of other people to move a line that much. And there was a lot of money bet on that game on that day. And that's how you just go, this is, you got to get the stupid out of your scheme if you're going to do it. This stuff's been happening before.
Oh God, yes.
Gambling was legalized.
Here's an aside. If you're kind of wondering what
we're
going
to find more because they catch it more.
So what happened in this game was UAB won 100-72, and Miller scored 8 points on 3 of 9 shooting and committed 3 turnovers. In the run that Temple went on in the American Athletic Conference in the tournament, Miller averaged 28 points a game. I mean,
it's pretty good.
So the guy that averaged 28 points a game was 3 of 9 and had 8 points in this game. Ooh. And here's the thing. This happened on March 7th.
How many turnovers do you have?
March 8th, Temple was notified.
Oh.
So they immediately dug into the other bets that were placed.
Why would Virginia Tech even bring this guy in?
They probably didn't know at that point in time. Because he got on campus, and then I would imagine once it was like, oh, no, he's enrolled here, they went. The NCAA
compliance does this though. If Temple was notified on that Friday, their compliance department, when this guy was going to Virginia Tech, compliance would have been like, hey, is there anything we need to watch out for? That means that the federal investigators are like, yeah, we're letting you know, but you better not tell a damn person.
Yeah, because we're tracking this. So basically, the bookmakers noticed that the same customers who bet against Temple in the UAB game were also wagering in other games involving Temple. They weren't spreading it around. They weren't just one-timing it. They often made wagers on the result and the total points scored in the first half. First half unders.
He hit him. He hit him. Wow. Well, can't fix stupid, can you?
It's tough. He hasn't pled guilty. This is still an accusation. All the things that come with the legalese. I'm not saying that, but boy, does it seem like they've got him painted into a corner.
Yeah. The feds don't miss though when they go after these guys.
It's a tough place to be. So, you want to talk NBA All-Star game?
Yeah. No. My honest assessment is no,
but
because I don't care about the NBA All-Star game when it's happening.
Well, they're hoping you do because they're making a change.
Yeah, this is the one that's going to work.
No, hear me out this time.
Yeah, no, this is going to be the one that works.
Well, we'll get to that more. Can be Danny Dusty today, the fan.
Make me care, Danny.
I don't know if I can make you care, but maybe it may make you care just the tiniest bit more.
All right.
Much like the change to the in-season tournament has made people care just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Have you not cared just a little bit more?
Not at all.
You didn't have a little bit more juice that game the other night when they had the Rose Court out there and
no.
You know it felt like it. I'm just saying,
no,
there's a little more juice. Look, we're not getting every last drop out of the orange here.
Wait, who was it? There was a player the other day that they were asked about the in season tournament and he rolled his eyes and was like, yeah, the games do mean more. He literally sighed and was like, yeah. They did. Yep, this game did mean more in the in-season tournament.
They got the memo.
Yeah, they're getting the memo.
Okay. See, Vancouver Forward text line. I care a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit.
We're not talking about like major.
It is a little bit more,
but just enough more. And I think that's what they need to save the All-Star game because it's been a disaster. Just a week ago, the NBA was in discussions and the Board of Governors meeting to make changes to the NBA All-Star game effective this year. For the 2025 All-Star Game. And it has been announced it will be a 4-team tournament style All-Star Game.
Oh boy.
Two semifinal games up to 40 points where the winners advance and the finals game goes to 25 points. So kind of an Elam ending kind of a deal, right?
Elam ending, actually, in the NBA All-Star Game, the Elam ending has been something that you have watched for because every quarter, the game ends on a total, not a time,
but a total
score.
Mm-hmm.
Just get to the score and we're done.
And I think they're trying to trim the fat off the game because the first three quarters, it's guys are walking through it.
Yeah.
And
they walking through it. It's like 180 to 173. Yeah.
And it's like, come on, guys. And that was a case even in the heyday of like the All-Star game, or it was like
when games were played in the 80s and they would score like 120 points in the All-Star game.
But what happened was it was for the first half, it was the F around time,
mm-hmm.
right? It was, you know, that's where you have your, but in the second half, that's when it started getting more competitive. In that fourth quarter, guys were going at each other. It became, okay.
What do you think the number would be to get guys to care? Winner takes a pot.
I think that's the big thing is the money will. They haven't mentioned it yet. But
how many
think
guys are in each roster?
12.
12 for the All-Star mm-hmm. game? So if you're saying it is,
you put a mill on the line for each person, the care would be.
Oh, I think it would be more than that. I think if you, I was going to say, if you had a pool and it would have to be like, I think you'd really start getting guys to care if it was like the winner's take was $36 million. So it's $3 million a pop.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
But you want guys to care about the game?
I think just a mill alone a person would be enough.
I think if you got it to be, if it was to winner, if you're on the winning team of the All-Star game, you get $3 million. I think you get guys to actually play their butts off.
I think you get guys fighting.
Make it $3 million per player.
But basically,
and that's a drop in the hat for the NBA. Well, like Adam Silver can find that in the couch cushions. And you know what? The ratings would go through the roof.
And what they're hoping is that by shortening the games, it's again two semifinal games up to 40 points. The winners move on, and the final game is 25 points. It's like pickup. It's like the intensity would ratchet up quite a bit if it's not four long drawn out quarters. Yeah. Now, the NBA's pushback here is probably going to be from the commercialization of it. If it's shorter, you can't have a bajillion commercials that they run.
Oh, like, they'll find a way.
Like All-Star Weekend. It's disgusting how much, like, the hour in between events and stuff like that, like the time between dunk rounds and the dunk mm-hmm. contest. Remember we talked about, oh, the NBA dunk contest isn't as fun as it used to be. It's because between every round is 15 minutes of commercials and people talking.
The whole thing used to be an hour.
Yeah.
You'd be in and out.
It'd be done.
Yep.
But they can't monetize that to the nth degree. They're like, well, we have to follow the NFL model. It's like, no, their games are 3 hours. That's why it's like that.
Yeah. You get 82 games.
Yeah.
They have 17 that are, they have 17 that are an hour or 3.5 hours.
You're doing it on volume. Just get used to it.
Yeah.
But they're hoping that by shortening things down and ratcheting up the intensity and making the give a damn go up, it'll work. And we've already seen this work a little bit. The Rising Stars Challenge, where the rookie sophomore game, that's how this has been done. It's been four teams broken up. And the competition has gotten heated.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking, well, this could be a way to save it. The thing for me, if you're trying to do something that makes sense to get somebody to care about something a little bit more, you're on the right path.
Yeah.
Baseball did it with going back to the bigger going to the bigger bags and bringing stealing back. Mm-hmm. Like they fundamentally changed the game. They put a pitch clock on the game to speed it up, because the thing that this comes down to is everybody wants to talk about, you know, and I think some players and executives in every sport think that they're splitting the atom at some point in time.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, dog, this is still an entertainment product. If you disappeared today, we'd be fine.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just thinking about this even more. I don't care. It could be the $1 million. Mm-hmm. I think it would mean more if we've gone to the LED floors, right? We have that. Hear me out on this one. You play the All-Star game on an elevated floor. At center court, the circle of center court is lit up the entire game.
Mm.
It is see-through, and the actual money
is
that
right
the guys are playing for. You have stacks. You have 12 stacks of $1 million,
mm-hmm.
could be $3 million. At the end of the game, it just rises up, and you get to go and you
go
take
full
your
game
stack.
Show?
Yeah. Like it is, the players are looking at it the entire
time. You
literally
get to go grab your racks?
Yeah. You want to amplify it a little bit more? Then we could have an Ocean's 11 situation where if there's a heist in the middle of the All-Star game, how great would that be? Mm. That's even more entertainment television.
You're not wrong.
The bad side of this, as I'm talking right now, robberies would be at an all-time high of players leaving the All-Star game.
Oh, God, yeah. You'd have those guys. I mean, the security would be through the roof at those places.
Could you imagine, though, how great it'd be?
You'd have to do the All-Star game in Vegas.
Yeah.
Simply because of that. Because of, like, it's always funny when you hear, like, the real stories of people who've actually tried to rob casinos. It will never happen. It will literally never happen. The only way it will ever, ever, ever happen
is if Clooney and Brad Pitt do it?
No, is if, like, we're ever, like, truly invaded by a ground force and, like, they just...
Ooh.
That's the only
Red Dawn style.
Yeah, that's the only way it will ever happen because the overwhelming amount of security that is in the region.
Well,
because
aren't they planning on moving the All-Star game to Vegas every year?
Eventually. Like that's the for those that don't know, the wink and the nod from the NBA is simply that the number one, it's Seattle and Vegas are getting the teams and the buy-in. Here's the crazy thing. It's a little squirrel moment. It might be $6 billion just for the expansion rights per team.
Whoa.
They're waiting on the Celtics to sell.
Yeah.
And then that'll be kind of be the market price.
Jeez.
And then they build the arena in Las Vegas. And they're going to build a basketball-only arena. And that will become basically the NBA's headquarters for their in-season activities. So it'll be the in-season tournament. It'll be the All-Star game.
Dude,
everything will be in Vegas.
They already have a lot that's going to be leveled that definitely won't be holding a stadium because the A's are going to screw this up. And they can just build wherever.
Well, they had the plans already done. It's on the north side of the strip.
Oh, I know. That's the guy. Yeah.
That's where that's at. So.
Here's a text on the Vancouver Four text line. I don't think people want to see millionaires get awarded more millions. I would.
Yeah, you do.
I would. And you know what would be great? But... You know that this would happen. One guy gets his stack. And he just starts making it rain in the crowd.
Oh, God.
You know it would happen.
Anthony Edwards.
Ja Morant.
Anthony Edwards.
We've already seen Ja Morant do it on video. He just won't have a gun this time.
Literally.
Likely.
Literally covered the floor in cash at Shotgun Willie.
Yeah. I mean, you could see millionaires award hundos to normal people. That's what I'm talking about.
Basketball socialism?
Yeah. I mean, it would be, or after the game, it lowers from the rafters.
Mm. There you go.
Guys, get their stacks.
Like the Denver Nuggets mascot, completely unconscious.
Yeah, let's go. I'm in.
So, that's a good one. All right. Come up next. What day is it?
Thursday.
Oh, is it 2 o'clock?
It is.
It's time for us to make our picks, which we'll do next here on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.